Senator Hutchison continues fighting for Constellation. Congressmen want action on a new crew fatigue rule. And Airbus says it had a big week in Berlin. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, June 14, 2010. Texas Republican Senator Kay Bailey Hutchison, who's becoming a leading voice in the fight by opponents to block the Obama administration's new vision for commercial spaceflight, says NASA is violating the law by taking steps now to wind down the Constellation program, which would avoid wasted effort and spending, before Congress has considered the president's 2011 budget. Much of Constellation's pork would fall off the truck in Texas. The senator is at least transparent on why she's a Constellation booster, calling the administration's new priorities, quote, a course that today leads to the loss of hundreds, perhaps thousands of jobs, unquote. After the senator dissed SpaceX following the successful first flight of its Falcon 9 rocket, SpaceX CEO Elon Musk struck back at Hutchison for working to hurt his company, which he called one of the fastest-growing private sector employers in Texas. For its part, NASA says that under terms of the Federal Anti-Deficiency Act, it cannot take any action which obligates the federal government to expenditures not already approved by Congress, requiring it to begin the shutdown of the program now. Four members of the U.S. House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee are pressuring the FAA with a letter to Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, expressing concern and disappointment that he's not yet issued a notice of proposed rulemaking for flight duty time limits. Quote, we have received repeated assurances, including testimony from FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt, that the FAA would complete the rule by the end of 2009, which slipped to this spring, and still nothing has been produced, unquote. The letter, which is signed by Representative James Oberstar, John Mica, Jerry Costello, and Thomas Petri, says that rules governing pilot fatigue have been on the NTSB's most wanted list for 20 years and are identified as a contributing factor in many accidents. An aviation rulemaking committee formulated flight and duty time revisions for the DOT a year ago. The letter continues, quote, now it is time for DOT to fulfill its obligations and put forward new regulations. The safety of the traveling public is paramount, and we urge DOT to follow through on its commitment, unquote. In spite of a down economy, or perhaps in part because of it, the National Air Transportation Association's 2010 Air Charter Summit last week reported a 50% increase in attendance over 2009, and a record number of overall event sponsors and tabletop display sponsors. The agenda included state taxes, federal excise taxes, the economic forecast for the industry, an FAA regulatory update with the agency's top leadership, charter brokering, the latest on the large aircraft security program, a flight duty and rest update, and a fractional ownership leadership session. As it is at many industry shows, next-gen ATC and its impacts on the industry were a foreground topic. Last week's ILA Berlin event produced a number of sales for Airbus, or at least the announcement of same. The company says commitments covered 67 aircraft valued at over $15.3 billion, including firm orders for 32 A380s and MOUs for 35 more. Airbus sales chief John Leahy says the recessionary tide has turned. Quote, what we have seen at ILA are green shoots of industry recovery. There is more to come as the industry picks up, unquote. Up next on ANN, HBC can now paint your Bonanza or Hawker 4000 in Indianapolis. Dassault's auto brake feature gets approval. And NTSB wants safer volunteer charity flights. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for June 14th. I'm Paul Plack. The Hawker Beechcraft Services Indianapolis Service Center says it recently completed a state-of-the-art paint facility, which can accommodate planes up to the size of the Hawker 4000. It offers full strip and paint services, including factory or custom paint designs. HBC says all operations meet the new Environmental Protection Agency 6H rules, complying with the latest in air quality standards. The new capabilities augment the facility, which was completed in August of 2009, and which includes a 48,000-square-foot maintenance hangar. The FAA and EASA have granted approval to Dassault for an autobrake feature on the Falcon 2000 EX Easy Series. The feature adds greater safety margins by reducing landing distances as much as 150 feet on normal approaches and 300 feet on steep approaches. Dassault's chief test pilot, Philippe Delume, says the system's action is transparent to the pilot. Quote, "It's like landing with the brake pedals pushed forward. Pilots activate the autobrake function during approach by engaging a button located near the landing gear controls. Braking begins as soon as the main landing gear touches down while the nose gear is still off the ground, which is 1 to 1.2 seconds earlier than with the normal procedure. As soon as the pilot pushes the pedals on the ground, the autobrake disengages and the pilot brakes normally. Passengers will feel the same deceleration, 0.4 G, as in a conventional high-performance landing," unquote. For a pilot already type-rated, the training requirement is a 10-minute ground course, an approach and a go-around in a simulator. The autobrake will be included in standard production aircraft and will be available as a retrofit for all 2000 EX model series at any Dassault Aircraft Services facility. ACA, the Air Care Alliance, describes itself as a nationwide league of humanitarian flying organizations whose volunteer pilot members are dedicated to community service. The group now finds itself on the receiving end of a letter from the U.S. National Transportation Safety Board, outlining safety recommendations and asking for a response within 90 days, with specific plans to address the board's recommendations. The action stems from four accidents in 2007 and 2008. In three of them, a passenger on board a charitable medical flight was killed. The pilot was killed in the fourth incident en route to pick up his passengers. All flights were arranged by ACA members, and in each case, pilot proficiency was cited either as the probable cause or a contributing factor to the accident. The NTSB wants ACA to distribute guidance on safety, best practices, and training for pilots volunteering for these flights, a requirement that all volunteer pilot organizations implement them, a requirement to verify the currency of the pilots involved before the flights, and to make sure passengers are clearly informed that a Part 91 flight is not held to the same standards as 121 or 135. Still ahead, a cyclist raising money for African charities gets his bike smashed by baggage handlers. Delta sends two children to the wrong cities. And another city tries to regulate airspace. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, June 14th. I'm Paul Platt. Delta Airlines appears to be bending its policy on damage to checked baggage in order to avoid a public spectacle of the sort that spawned Dave Carroll's United Breaks Guitars videos. In this case, an athlete who is traveling the world competing in Ironman races to raise money for dam building in Africa checked his bicycle on a Delta flight after a competition in Hawaii. The blog The Consumerist reports that when it arrived in Salt Lake City, it was largely destroyed. Delta is said to have refused to even refund the $200 charged to check the bike, let alone replace it. The airline says passengers need to buy excess valuation insurance if we expect it to be responsible for the safe arrival of anything worth more than $3,300, and that assumes no responsibility for fragile or perishable items. On the other hand, Dave Carroll's original United Breaks Guitars video, which took that airline to task for breaking his Taylor guitar, is past 8 million views on YouTube and still climbing. With the bicycle story now out publicly, Delta says it has contacted the customer and is working to resolve the issue. Quote, "The cause he supports is an extremely important one, and we want to be sure he is able to continue his work," unquote. Moral of the story, if baggage handlers use your bike or guitar as a wheel chalk and customer service shows you the door, find a friendly blogger or post a video. Scarier, at least to any parent, is another Delta screw-up last week. A 9-year-old boy headed from his home in Spokane to visit his grandparents in Boston, and a girl headed for Cleveland, Ohio, both traveling as unaccompanied minors, were mixed up at their connections in Minneapolis. The girl wound up in Boston, the boy in Cleveland. Delta later flew the kids to their correct destinations at no extra charge, and USA Today reports that the airline gave the families full refunds for the tickets, credits for future travel, and its apologies. And finally today, Hilton Head Island in South Carolina has a local ordinance against aerial advertising, which it passed in 1993. At the time, city leaders saw the banners towed behind airplanes in the same way as other signs, which are strictly regulated. But last weekend, a pilot hired to fly a Geico ad banner over nearby Savannah, Georgia, didn't see many people on the ground there, and decided to fly a detour over the beaches along Hilton Head. Someone called the city to complain, but the city also heard from the FAA, telling officials the feds control the airspace, and as long as the pilot wasn't breaking the regs, he was legal, and their 17-year-old law against signs wasn't enforceable. Aerial Banners North owner Bob Benyo said the pilot should have stayed over Savannah, but when he got the call from the city, he laughed and said, quote, "When did you guys purchase the airspace from the federal government?" unquote. He added that if he had a client that wanted it, he'd fly a banner over Hilton Head just to challenge the law. But a story in the Island Packet reports that in 2006, the U.S. Supreme Court upheld a similar local ordinance in Hawaii, agreeing that the county had a right to protect its tourism industry by keeping the airspace clear of advertising. Even if it's found that that precedent does not apply, there is a nuclear option for tourist attractions wanting to limit competitors' messages. Walt Disney World exploited 9/11 terrorist concerns to get the airspace over its park restricted, which ended both banner towing and those annoying airborne reports that pointed out the traffic jams. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves gets into more GA accidents that didn't need to happen. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.